Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Tab, I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And we are going to be here till 11 o'clock, taking your computer calls, comments, questions, and concerns. I hear the lines are already starting to ring. Keeping Matt busy, we have the great Matt Sorois. Slumming it over here with us on Saturdays. His day job is on the big show, but we are lucky to have him here on Saturdays. So feel free to give him a ring. 860-522-9842 is the number, and we'll do our best to take your calls. Real quick, before we get into technology news, my son told me something, Dennis.
Oh, really?
Yes, and he was mortified to tell us this. He goes, Dad, a coworker of mine listens to your show. And he couldn't believe it, right? So he's like 23.
Oh.
Maybe, yeah, 23, 24. And I said, how old is this coworker? I just figured there'd be an older dad. Oh, he's looking in his early 30s. I'm like, yeah, all right. We're getting the utes back.
Yep.
But of course, he's mortified that anybody would listen to his dad, considering he doesn't. But that's another problem. So I figured I'd bring that up. And also, the Southington Symphonic Band. It's a community band, or otherwise known as an adult band, but we do wear our clothes. We are going to be performing on Monday at Southington High School at 7 o'clock. Come on out. It's a free concert. And the beauty of this, of a community band like ours, and the many community bands that are in Connecticut or anywhere, is that the age range of our band goes from like 16 to 70.
Wow.
Right?
That's huge.
And you can, yeah, imagine being able to cooperate with 16-year-olds up to 70-year-olds to put on a concert, music, to put out something of quality like that. It's a rare thing that I find in society that you can do that, right? You're all working together. You're not coaching them. You're actually playing with them.
Right.
And so it's really kind of a neat thing, and it's good for the mind to be playing music and not thinking about the rest of whatever's happening in your life as you're either rehearsing, practicing, or performing. So we'd love to see you. It's free, and Southington High School is the place to be at 7 o'clock on Monday. It's, you know, it's an hour. It's a quick concert for you to check out, but we've been working pretty hard, and music really difficult, and we'd love to see you there. But that's all for my little news notes. Anything you want to bring up technology-wise there, Dennis?
Something very close to my own heart,
yeah.
And it's a wonderful thing that people are doing with technology, including computer imaging.
Yes.
There was a medieval manuscript that concerns Merlin and King Arthur that had been turned. The material had been used as a book cover for a registry book later on during the Renaissance in England.
Okay.
And it was stitched together around this book. It's a book cover. I mean, it's literally what it is.
So like, hey, this manuscript is nothing good. We're going to use it as a book cover.
Right. And it was all faded so that, you know, nobody was distracted by the text that had been written on it. Mm. So it wasn't a problem.
Right.
And you had this material hanging around, and it was tough, and it worked.
Yeah.
Well, what they wanted to do was to read the text from the manuscript, but without dismantling the registry book that it had been turned into.
Yep.
And some scientists and engineers in England did some imaging with different wavelengths of light and different imaging techniques.
Yep.
They collected up all these images.
Yep.
This presented something of a puzzle because you had the manuscript folded around the book and then stitched together so that you had in spots, you've got multiple layers where the text is going in different directions for the little blocks.
Yeah.
Well, they took all of that. They collected up all the images. They used computer analysis in addition to other techniques, and they were able to read the text.
Wow.
On the manuscript.
Amazing.
And, you know, yeah, I'm just floored that they are able to do things like that. And you know, I've brought up examples of this kind of thing before, but it just blows me away that you can do stuff like that.
Did you see about the pyramids and what they're finding underneath the pyramids using like some sort of radar of some kind?
I don't know that there's anything under them.
Oh, you don't believe those news stories that
are
out?
I don't think there are. I honestly don't think there's anything underneath
them. Oh, okay. It's big news.
Not that I'm sure.
All right. It was big news recently, so maybe I'll find that for you. We'll bring it up.
We can take a look, too.
Hopefully I'm not, you know, hopefully it's not some conspiracy thing. It looked real to me. But then again, it was on the internet.
Well, there could be anomalous readings from underneath and... It's just that I have never heard of anything underneath
them before. I'll send you the link.
Yeah.
In other news, Oracle. Now, we talked about this. I touched on it with Brian on Tuesday. You know, Oracle, there's been some talk that they may have been breached. And they
really?
140,000 businesses.
Oracle.
The Oracle Cloud, of course. I need to specify that. The Oracle Cloud may have been breached. Surprise, surprise. And Oracle, of course, when this first came out Monday, denied it. Instantly.
Oh, sure.
We're not breached.
Well, no, not us.
Then the supposed hackers have now put out data showing that they possibly have been breached. And just 10 hours ago, the FBI is now investigating. Now, of course, we won't know if they have been breached until the state of Maine says so.
Well, right, because there's going to become a disclosure deadline that they have to meet in Maine.
Right.
And then we're going to know.
Right. So thanks to the state of Maine, we'll find out whether or not they were breached. But all indications seem to be that is the case. And again, it's just yet another example from CDK to Snowflake to Final Sight to now Oracle. You know, fine, the cloud's a great idea. Is it? Is it? Maybe, maybe not. Maybe there's other ways to look at housing and maintaining and managing data that's more siloed rather than having access across one big monstrous cloud. Because I'm not the sharpest tack in the drawer, but how many of more examples do I need to show you? I mean, what's the definition of an insanity? I mean,
doing the same thing over and over again
and expecting a different result.
Yeah.
And the only result we're getting is the same result, breaches and hacks. So, you know, Dennis and I know how the sausage is made, and I don't know that, you know.
And we're scared of the sausage.
Sausage tastes awful. It tastes awful. So, I don't know. We'll put this link up here for you. I guess smarter people than us will decide whether or not this approach to how we're computing these days is a good one. Because it sure is easy for the attackers to go after one big, large target like the cloud versus individual targets that happen to be siloed, like individual companies where they have their own individual servers with their own individual security protocols. A little harder that way, I would contend. You're still going to have breaches, but it won't be access to everybody.
Right.
Right. So anything else you want to bring up there, Dennis?
Oh, yes. Another thing that happened this week was the FBI Denver office.
Yes. I brought this up on Tuesday as
well.
Yeah.
Well, man.
It's okay. Sorry.
Stealing my thunder.
No, no. This is important. There's two different audiences.
This is important, and there's a reason for it.
Yeah.
This concerns online file converters.
Yes.
And basically, a lot of them are scammy.
The free ones.
Free online converters, right. A lot of them are scammy.
Right.
And then the upshot of them is that you've handed somebody else your files, and they can do whatever they want with it.
Right.
And it's just not a good thing to do. Even a legitimate file conversion service that works over the internet, I would not use.
And why would you want to give them your data?
Right. That's like I said, that's the upshot. Even a legitimate service is going to be stuck with your data and they're going to be able to do what they want with it.
Mm-hmm.
But for some reason, they issued a warning about them and we're going to give you the same warning.
Yeah.
Don't use them. Just don't do it. It's free. It's great. If you've got a file that you need to convert, find some other way to deal with it.
Right.
Please don't use these services.
Ask the sender to convert it for you before, you know, rather than you trying to figure out a way.
You can usually ask somebody to export in a different format if you need it. And this is something that's been going on for, what, 30 years?
Forever.
Since the internet was born, there have been things like this. This is not really news, which
makes me...
wonder why they released that.
Right. Why would any online service offer you a free anything, compute power, data center power, to convert your file for free? Just why would they do that out of the kindness of their heart? How many, I mean, you can barely get a free, you know, Slurpee these days. They're going to convert your files for you? No, they want to read your files. Or they want to submit, give you some sort of malware. So be careful out there. So we're going to step out for a quick break. We got Sherry and Heather on the line. And two lines open for you. 860-522-9842 is the number. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk, like the lady said. Don't call them girls. That's in trouble. Lady said. Can't call them girls, right, Matt? That's not a good idea. Like the lady said. We're going to be here until 11 o'clock. And we're going to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. Let's go to Sherry in West Hartford. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
Our pleasure.
I followed your advice 6 years ago and bought, which I'm very happy I did, and bought an HP Envy laptop.
Nice.
Great.
Love it. And now it's 6 years old, and I'm thinking of getting a different one now. This has 8 gigabytes, and it's the i7.
Nice.
Okay. I love it. It's the 8th generation.
Yeah.
So, but it's got Windows 10 on it, and rather than just updating to 11, I thought I'd get a new computer. Are you still recommending the HP Envy 360, or is there something else that you would recommend?
I still use that level of machine myself. I just got a new one.
That's what I got here, right in front of me.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm so happy with it. It's a great... So it would still be the HP Envy, and what would you... What generation and what...
Latest generation, it'll be like a 14th generation. They're going to be the Ultra chips you're going to be seeing.
Yeah, you'll see Ultra, yeah.
And I would do, again, Ultra 7, stay with that i7. I would go with 16 gigs of RAM or more. The thing about Windows 11, it'll chew up whatever you throw at it, right? So just because you buy 32 gigs doesn't mean it's going to run any faster. It's just going to use it because they're all going to be solid state anyways these days. So your machine, you know, if you want to get more RAM and you have it in your budget to 32, you can. 16 should be fine. And then, of course, a solid-state hard drive, half a terabyte or a full terabyte of solid-state drive would be our recommendation. And then whatever screen size. They're all even numbers now. They went from odd numbers to now 14 and 16-inch.
Instead of 13 and 15 and 17.
Yeah. Yes, I don't know why.
Okay, and that last one that you said, what was that last?
The hard drive?
Yes.
Make sure it's solid-state, and it should be 500 megabytes or 1 terabyte, whatever you can...
500 megabyte. Okay. I'm on it. Thank you so much for all the help. And this is really a great machine here.
I'm glad you liked it. And all my boys went through it. My oldest, who's now been out of college for now 5 years, still uses his college. It's like 9-year-old system. He keeps saying he's going to buy one, but he's got a wedding coming up, so he's got other priorities.
Well, the only reason why I'll probably give this one to our grandson. But the only reason why I would do it is. By September, I think, they're not going to be handling Windows 10. They're not going to support it.
October.
So I need Windows 11, and I figured I'm going to need a little bit more juice.
Yeah, and if you can upgrade it, it may or may not be upgradable. You may not know. It should be free still, and there's a checker you can do to see if it's upgraded. So if you give it to your grandson, at least upgrade it to Windows 11 if it's possible so it's, they can use it.
Okay. All right, I'll do that. Thanks again, and I'm still listening and... getting all sorts of wonderful advice from you guys.
Well, thanks Sherry.
For the service.
We appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
All right. Well, hopefully that helps her. But yeah, we still like that line. There's other brands out there too.
Yeah, there are.
And you're also going to see price increases. So
yes.
No political commentary here, but economic commentary. Tariffs are going to increase costs, right? And we're already seeing it in the market. Some of these costs are they're pre-cost. They just cranked up the price for no reason.
Right. Exactly.
Maybe
because they can.
Yeah. So, hey, I heard they're going to say because tariff, but they haven't even been tariffed themselves.
Right.
So, but we are seeing price increases occurring, and which is what's going to happen. But be aware of that. So, I guess I can't tell you when to buy or when not to buy because the threat of tariffs have been they've been yanked back so often that you don't know if they're actually going to happen or not. So do you wait until the yanking occurs and the tariff goes back down? I don't know. You get a market time a tariff. I couldn't even tell you when to do that. So just buy the machine if you need it, when you need it, because I don't think you can predict what's going to happen. If you can, good for you. Let's go to Heather in Canton next. What's up, Heather?
Hey there. Thanks so much for taking my call.
Sure.
My husband and I are going to be upgrading our desktop computer.
Nice.
We've got to move over to the new Windows 11, but it's old and it's pretty slow. And so, one, I wanted to ask what your recommendation is on a new desktop. And we don't want to transfer because it's just going to be junk to junk. So we want to piece by piece move things over.
Yeah.
And we want to maybe put photos and things on an external hard drive. My husband doesn't really love the cloud stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I was wondering if you had a recommendation not only on a new desktop, but on an external hard drive to store things on.
Mm.
We also like the Proton Mail, but I was able to go to your website and got the whole download on how that works.
Yeah, nice, huh?
Okay.
Yeah, really nice.
All right, so.
Seems like it's not as easy to use the Proton Mail as everything else, though.
It's, well, being more secure is a little more complicated, yes.
Right.
But... once you get used to it and you understand, it's definitely a benefit to you. I promise you, it's more secure than what you were doing.
Yeah, for sure.
So PC wise, so we like we like micro PCs. Like they're called Nooks.
Yes.
Okay.
And Intel, of course, they got out of the server business. They got out of the laptop business. They got out of the Nook business. Heck, before I know it, they're going to get out of the processor business at the rate they're going. but ASUS picked them up. And so ASUS puts out these great little Nooks, and I tell you to look into them. And same specs I gave the last lady. i7, 16 gigs or more of RAM, 1 terabyte or more now for a PC. So the putting your pictures on a separate drive worries me, right? Just having it sit there on a separate drive. I'd rather it be on your primary and then back them up to a second drive. That's fine. But if you just put them on that one drive, someday it may not power up for you. And if you're not going to back it up to the cloud, which is fine, I would tell you to put it on the primary machine and then have that secondary drive be a backup. And you can use external hard drives like Western Digital, we talked about, Dennis, right?
Oh, yes.
Can we say that again, please?
Western Digital has backup drives that are designed to do backups for you, multi-terabyte drives. So a couple of terabytes of storage, you're going to connect it to the computer and it'll be your backup drive. But put all your primary data on your machine. So it can then be backed up.
Okay. And then you said something about, you said that the micro PC, did you say ASUS? I couldn't hear it very well.
ASUS.
ASUS.
A-S-U-S.
Yep. Taiwanese company.
Yep.
Could be Chinese someday, who knows, but for now it's Taiwanese.
Right.
they've been a great company over the many years. We've used their motherboards in building our custom. All right, we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. Two lines open for you guys. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
Gotcha. And we're going to be here until 11 o'clock. So let's get to your calls. We're going to go to Joe first in Berlin. What's happening, Joe?
Yeah, good morning, gentlemen. A couple weeks ago, I asked you what router to get.
Yep.
I finally upgraded to the Nighthawk Wi-Fi 7 dual band router.
Wow. Okay.
Very nice.
And also the modem was the CM2050.
Okay.
But I had a challenge getting them to work.
Oh,
sure. It wouldn't be fun if it was easy.
They wanted me to use my cell phone to do all the work.
I hate that.
Yeah. The a lot of the companies are now forcing you to manage your router through a mobile app only.
Yeah.
They're not hosting a web page.
I didn't have enough data, so I had to go buy some more data at TrackPhone.
Because you couldn't use your own Wi-Fi.
Gotcha.
That's crazy.
That's
awful. That's awful.
I finally got them to work.
Nice.
Good.
Now, I got a question about open
DNS.
Yes.
Yeah.
I found one of your articles on your site.
Good.
And they want you to open up an account with them. Do I need to do that?
Well, you should. They want you to set up just your basic username and account. It's not any kind of nefarious thing to worry about.
Yeah, what that account will allow you to do is to do some management of your network, and you can, once you've gotten that and you've logged in and you've linked up with your house network,
mm-hmm.
you can then tell OpenDNS what level of protection to impose.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. but that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Otherwise, okay. Otherwise, it's just going to give you a basic layer of just basically malware protection.
Yeah.
It just looks for malware-related links.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you can actually, if you've got an account and you're starting to manage the network in OpenDNS, you can actually customize it. You can have different categories that you can block if you want to. And you can even put in domains that you don't want to ever see.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty versatile.
Do you have kids or grandkids, Don?
Well, no, okay. I don't have any grandkids.
Okay.
I don't know if they'll ever come around. So, but the next question.
Yeah.
When they installed the router, they have Netgear Armor by Bitdefender.
Mm-hmm. You don't need it.
No.
You don't need it? Okay.
No.
That's what I was, the other question. And then I noticed, reading through the manual for the router, there says set up a dynamic DNS account.
Okay.
Do I use OpenDNS or?
Yeah, OpenDNS would be your DNS.
Well,
you don't need a separate account.
Dynamic DNS is giving yourself a domain name for your network.
Like a static IP too, right?
Well, it wouldn't be a static IP. It would check what IP you've got at any given moment and just change it to that.
You don't need
that. Would be used only if you were accessing your network from outside and doing it with something that requires it. And most people on a home network would never need anything like that.
Right. Yeah, because what it is on the modem, they have a USB port. I was planning on putting a hard drive on.
You wanted to share that over with yourself over the internet, maybe.
I doubt if I will, so I'll leave it alone.
Yeah, if you don't think you're going to use it, don't set it up.
I would not. I'm not sure that I want to do that with my hard drive. Mm-hmm. I might use a service like. Well, I think Western Digital's NASs have a service called MyCloud, but you're authenticating in a different way than just penetrating through the internet through your firewall to get there, which is what you would be doing with dynamic DNS. It's a different kind of access, and that's what I would rather have people do on their home networks.
Yep.
You don't want to be opening up your firewall from outside.
Also, they said in the router manual, there's open VPN and some kind of open VPN software.
Yep.
Yeah. Now that would be
on the router.
You can enable it on the router. That's all you pretty much would be doing is just saying yes. Go ahead and host open VPN, and then you would take like a laptop or a phone. And you would put the OpenVPN client on it and get that running to connect to your router. And then your laptop or phone would be networked into your home network.
However, you need the IP again to get there.
You'd need the IP address at any given moment, yes.
So it's more for an incoming VPN, Don, than an outgoing.
Yeah, right.
If you're thinking outgoing, you can also configure outgoing VPNs to have your to have all your communication be encrypted. However, it's going to impact your performance, and it's going to cause other issues. So I wouldn't go there either yet, unless you have a reason to have a VPN. But you need a static IP, and that again, that's back to that variable. It's getting more complicated if you're not going to use it.
Okay. Yeah, because reading through the manual, it was confused. You know, they tell you can do stuff, but what is it?
Yeah.
Well, you can do it all,
right?
But there are a lot of steps you have to take in order to get to the next point where you can do the next thing.
But congratulations, and you read the
manual.
Yeah,
I mean, you've already gone a lot further than most people did. So, yeah. You're going to get a gold star from me.
And if you want to find out more about it, so the YouTube is amazing, right? So if you go to YouTube and put in just aspects of your firewall and the areas you're discussing, somebody will explain it to you.
Okay.
And you can get more information on it. But don't just take the one guy's explanation unless they're really good. Get a couple.
Okay.
You never know. And watch the whole video, because always the most important aspects of the whole thing are at the very end.
Yeah.
You know, especially when you're defrosting a frozen ice maker out of a refrigerator. Make sure you don't start with the blow dryer. Find out how long you should be doing it before it melts on you.
It was one thing about the Netgear manual.
Yeah.
They take up a third of the page just signing into the router.
Yeah.
And they repeat it every time.
The EULA, right? The user license agreement? Is that what you're talking about?
No. It just says, you know, administrative name, the password, you know, it takes you, like I said, a quarter to a third of the page just to be able to get on.
Gotcha.
Okay, yeah. Thank you very much.
All right, Don. Thank you.
Okay, bye.
All right, bye-bye. So he's got a router set up, and that was interesting that he had to use TrackPhone data to do it. That is frustrating.
Yeah, I mean, that...
Some of them have a link that you just don't see it. It's like it's so minuscule on the page that it tells you they want to use the app, and then there's this little link. Like even my Linksys does that. Little link if you want to manage it through the IP address.
Right.
But generally, actually, Don, you should try that if you're still listening. Check your gateway IP address, assuming it's 192.168.1.1. Type that in on your browser and see if the management of the router comes up. I bet you that it does. I'm going to bet you it still does. I hear you, Dennis. They want you to use the app, but I bet you it does. Because you're going to, I bet
the latest wave of them doesn't.
Really?
Yeah.
That's just sad.
It is very sad.
All right. We're going to step out for a quick break. Ray and another Don, hang on. We'll get to your calls. Two lines open for you. 860-522-9842 is the number. We'll be right back. All right. We are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And we're just talking a little bit off air about one of my favorite business movies was The Founder.
Yep.
Yeah, because you just had the McDonald's commercial on the program here. You had the chorus of angels going and the ba-da-ba-ba-ba. And we're just talking about how they got there. And you just, if you have never watched The Founder, it is an awesome movie.
Yep.
And I won't ruin it for you, but hopefully you know what McDonald's really is. And it's an interesting movie. It's worth watching. And it's just the evolution of them going from selling burgers to me as a kid with a clown to a chorus of angels and some guy going, ba da ba ba ba. It's just interesting to me. But I digress. I eat their Egg McMuffin, although I've been off them for a while now because I'm trying to lose weight. But let's go to Don in Lebanon. What's going on, Don?
All right. Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm having a problem with my laptop connecting to the internet.
All right.
Primarily in the morning. And I think it's related to some service I had a couple of weeks ago. I had my computer into a local computer shop for replacement of the screen. Mm. And when I got my computer back home, I couldn't connect to the internet. So I brought it back to the service company. Mm. They replaced the network adapter and sent me home.
Mm-hmm.
That next day, I couldn't connect again. I then discovered when it won't connect, if I do a restart, it will connect. And so I went into looking around, and I went into network settings, and I discovered that VPN was there, and there were a couple of options, and I turned them off. Mm-hmm. And I still have the same problem. I'm wondering, how do I make the problem go away? Do I have to get rid of some VPN profile or something?
No.
I just don't know where to go from here.
As far as I'm concerned, it's not a VPN issue. It has nothing to do with VPN.
No.
Here's where I'm angling, and we'll see what Dennis concurs. It's the morning. Now, I don't start up really good in the morning either. But if you've got your machine sitting in power saving, I got a feeling it's powering off the network adapter. It's sleep, putting it to sleep. That's my feeling.
Yeah.
You reboot it and it wakes up.
Well, two things,
yeah.
But we ruled out one of them by what he just said.
Right, that it reboots and it works.
Well, no.
Oh.
That the network adapter was replaced. What I was thinking is either that it's the power management,
mm-hmm.
or it may be that the network adapter is degrading,
right.
And when it's cold, physically cold,
mm-hmm.
it does not radiate radio waves quite the same as it does when it gets warmer.
And it's rare to replace a network adapter in a laptop, but we won't go there.
Yeah,
we'll take their word for it.
Very odd.
We'll take their word for it.
But yeah, I mean, assuming that was replaced, then that couldn't be the issue.
Right.
So yeah, we're going back to power management, and there are ways to turn off power management. We'll find an article about doing that.
Yeah. What's your make and model of laptop? We might be able to find the exact one for you. You there?
Well, I now see that when I go over to log in, I see hidden network all the time, which I didn't see before.
Uh-huh.
And so that's there.
Yeah.
And you're talking about power management. I do have it set for, I'm trying to think, power management. I have it set for whether it goes, the time frames for whether it sleeps or doesn't sleep.
Right.
And I set that to see if I could fix the problem. I went into when it was on power.
Yep.
I said, you know, never go to sleep. And when it was on battery,
yeah.
I set it to 5 hours. And
sure.
That gets me through the day just fine. But now, and you say it could be heat related. And it's kind of interesting because in the evening I have my computer, and during the night my computer is set over near, not too far from my heating element, the baseboard heating, and so it's warm. Maybe it's too hot, but
yeah, maybe.
This morning this morning I went down to the other room and tried it, and right now it's sitting right now where it's showing it's not connected, and I know that if I just go over there and do a restart, it'll be fine. But how do I make the problem go away?
Yeah. Well okay.
We're suggesting a way to do it.
So you want to go in your power management also and see if you've configured the network card to turn off after a certain amount of time, because you can do that. You can customize your power management, and you might have customized it. The other option is to get an external USB Wi-Fi adapter. I don't think they changed your network adapter in that laptop. I'm pretty certain they didn't. That's just my guess. If I would tell you to go, I think that your network adapter is just failing, and you should get an external USB wireless adapter. How old's your laptop? Is it very old?
2 years.
Oh, that's too bad.
No, 2 years.
2 years. It's out of warranty, I suspect. Before you buy the adapter, check the power management. I would tell you to uninstall and reinstall the drivers, but when you went and brought your machine back to the shop, did they get it right on the internet for you and say, hey, it works?
They were connected to VPN. And the other thing they did was not a bad thing is they did a Windows update, which was very long.
Yeah.
And then and they also then connected, but obviously they were connected to the VPN, and that happened every time. But when I get home, it's still in the same mode where
Are we sure your Wi-Fi is working? Have you checked your phone? Is your phone connecting to your Wi-Fi? Are you sure it's not a problem you're having with your internal Wi-Fi?
Oh, no. Everything is working fine.
Okay.
In other words, TV's working. Everything's working. My phone is working.
And all right.
So, and like I say, right now, if I just go and do a restart,
yep.
It'll come up immediately.
Okay.
I'm in power mode right now. I wonder what... Balanced. What do I have to do there?
Balanced is
plugged
fine.
In on battery.
No, he it's wants high performance.
High performance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but check the setting though. Even just make sure there's no setting on the NIC itself, the network card itself, to have it go to sleep.
How do I do that?
Within the power, you can actually drill down into individual components when you go into these different configurations, and you can actually then see you could spin hard drives down, you could spin network cards down, you can spin all sorts of aspects of the system down if you want to. You can customize it. And just make sure that the network card is not set to go to sleep. But in the high performance, it shouldn't by default be like that.
Yeah.
So set it to high performance.
I'm in power mode now. Where would I go? And I see there's screen sleep and hibernate, or where should I be going?
What you're going to be doing is looking for the advanced power settings.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Let me get 30 seconds. Matt forgot the outro. He's going to kill me. I'm going to get in there.
I'm looking at it. I don't see the advanced settings. So maybe if I'm...
We'll send a link because we're coming up.
Settings if I went to network.
We're going to be posting two different articles.
Yep.
And it covers the same issue in two different ways. And it will show you how to get to that.
All right, Don. We got to go. Sorry. Yeah. We'll be right back.